They were frightened.
I want masks. What is this?
Listen, I'll grant your Felger is crazy.
Here we go.
Man, I got to lay off the peyote.
It was horrendous.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bye! We're going to talk all day about the Patriots' win over the Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. Maz, what are your thoughts on that? What's your lead takeaway from that game?
Just your typical Monday, right? Is that what you're saying? Typical Monday?
Ho-hum, another one.
So look, Murray, you want to go first? You really should go first, Murray.
Oh, why? Because
you really should.
Because I'm vindicated? Because I get to say,
caw, caw, caw!
I'm going to crow.
Caw, caw, caw!
I told you, I knew this was going to be a game, and that defense was going to present problems, and I get it. They got a lot of volume sacks against bum teams like the Colts and the Houston Texans, but that's a real operation there. The quarterback, maybe not so much, especially in the fourth quarter, but how that game played out was pretty much how I exactly thought it was going to. That's a damn good defense, and they presented problems in areas that I thought that they would present, getting pressure up the middle and flooding the middle of the field and taking those wide receivers out, and Brandon Cooks at times looking like a liability. That's more a Patriots thing, but the biggest takeaway is, as much as I've seen it time and again, and when I think that it's over, this team just keeps coming back from the dead.
Did you think it was over?
When they did that goofy little trick play, and Lewis fumbled it, and it was Miles Jack, right, that ended up getting the fumble, that's where I was like, okay, they're done here. You know, I thought that was it, and there was still, what, 10 minutes to play at that point? I thought that was it. It just felt like, man, this just isn't their day. And yet again, I'm proven wrong. It's their uncanny ability to come back time and time again in these situations where it feels like they have no business to. It's unbelievable. They've taken years off my life, and I'm glad that they have.
Look,
do you feel it was over, Maz, at any point?
No, never. Nope, never. I mean, it was a hell of a game. I mean, more of a game than I thought it was ever going to be, but I never actually looked at it and said, they're done. It's over. Forget it. They're screwed. I never did, because I thought, you know, I felt like Jacksonville wasn't going to be able to pull away. I felt like the Patriots finally figured it out a little bit defensively and started bringing some pressure in the second half, and they were able to keep Jacksonville within arm's length as a result of it. And, you know, to me, to me, yesterday was almost entirely, again, about the quarterback. I don't know where else to go, and it has nothing to do with that stupid cut on his hand. I know that's what everybody was talking about going in. But how many times this guy is, aside from the fact that he did it again yesterday, just extrapolated to the big picture. This guy's running the greatest two-minute drill in terms of his career in the history of sports. He just does not go away. He does not go away. It's unbelievable what he does over and over and over again. Belichick tried to replace him started to replace him 4 years ago. 4 years ago he started the process. And this guy's still pulling rabbits out of his hat. And I say rabbits, you know, there's nothing fluky about it. When you do it as many times as he's done it, 11 times now in the playoffs, fourth quarter comebacks. 11 times. Times in the postseason.
It really almost does feel cliche at this point to go with Brady as the biggest takeaway, but again, it is, and I put it in the email. To me, that fourth quarter performance, without Rob Gronkowski, and obviously without Julian Edelman, and really Danny Amendola being his only reliable option at that point in the game, that fourth quarter to me is the second best performance ever behind Super Bowl 49 in his fourth quarter against that Seattle Seahawks defense.
So you put Seattle Super Bowl first, yesterday second,
then
Atlanta or whatever.
Super Bowl 51. In the second half.
I mean, I still put the Super Bowls first because they're the Super Bowls. So, but this, you know, in terms of accomplishing more with less, when's he ever had a challenge like that?
Has he ever done it without Edelman and Gronkowski?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And again, who can keep track anymore, Mike?
And James White turning into a pumpkin, like other guys that are normally reliable. I'm like, he can't even go to this guy without the ball clanging off his hands or having someone immediately on him because of the speed of those linebackers.
I mean, when you factor that part in, no Edelman, no Gronk, down 10 in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game. It was not even, you know, and I don't want to minimize the divisional round. They're all playoff games. But you're talking about one of the two biggest games you'll play in any given season. One of the biggest games you'll play in your career. You know, most guys don't go to 8 Super Bowls. So, like, all of that, you factor that in. And look, I underestimated Jacksonville. I did. No two ways about it. I underestimated the coaching staff. I underestimated the quarterback. I underestimated the defense. I think that Jacksonville team is legit. They're not quite where the Patriots are. If they had a quarterback, they'd be really dangerous, at least this year.
I think they were legit yesterday. gave him, and I'm with you, I mean, they gave him much more of a game than I gave him credit for. Much more. So I did not think that would be a game, and they gave you a game. I'm not ready to say they're a great team. They lost to Tennessee twice. I mean, you can't. They had a good day. They had a couple in a row. I mean, just give them credit. I mean, what they validated what they did in Pittsburgh with maybe even a better performance yesterday, which I did not see coming. But I don't, you know.
No, they might go 7-9 next
year.
Yeah,
I don't fear them.
Yeah, I hear you on that. No, but they played a legit game yesterday.
Great game.
They had a good game plan. I mean, again, like, you know, you see Coughlin in the press box up there scribbling away, and you're like, here we go again. Here we go. This is it. You know, the great kryptonite, as you said, Murray. The Coughlin factor, again. I don't know how you come away from that thing with anything other than the quarterback.
So I feel it was more of a team than a quarterback thing yesterday. And Brady, obviously, a big part of it. You put him first on the list. But I think that was more of a team thing. And that's just, they got defensive stops in the fourth quarter. They dominated the fourth quarter. For as good as Jacksonville showed up in that game and the game plan was for Jacksonville and how impressed I was by them, they pretty much sucked in the fourth quarter. I mean, they did. On both sides of the ball, and you made them, and you made it so. I mean, you were a much better team in the fourth quarter, but I thought all around. I mean, your last touchdown drive was a 30-yard touchdown drive. You bring a punt return back to the 30. So special teams played in. Your defense holds them in their end of the field for that. They're punting out of their end zone at the end of the game. You are repeatedly, Belichick is repeatedly not going for it on fourth and manageable near midfield, putting it in the hands of his defense. And pretty much every single time his defense answered the call, got the ball back. And I think it's just a classic case of you can show up and play well against the Patriots and you can have some answers and you can be ready to go and you can match wits. But if you don't go 60 minutes, you're going to lose. And I don't even consider them comebacks anymore. I mean, it obviously is, but I just think the Patriots keep going and going and going and going. And if you don't, if you make bad decisions or let up, which is what I think Jacksonville did, I think Jacksonville let up, you're going to lose because the Patriots keep going. And so it's a comeback because they're down, but it's just the old cliche, and I said it all day yesterday, you have to play 60 minutes to beat the Patriots because they go 60 minutes. 60. Not 59, Seattle, and not 55, Atlanta, and not 59-30, Pittsburgh. Name it. Name the number of teams who've had the Patriots beat over the years. In big games, had them beat. Seattle had them beat. Atlanta had them beat. Pittsburgh last month had them beat. The Houston Texans, the first month of the season, had them beat. How many? And the Patriots keep going and going and going. And Jacksonville certainly wasn't able to do it, and I don't think anyone is. To keep up with the Patriots and go toe-to-toe with them for 60 minutes. You may do it for 50. On a good day, 55. Jacksonville, I think, had them for three quarters, but not four. And I don't know. I don't think Philly can do it. I don't think anyone can do it right now. No one can stay with them the whole way. And that's just what I think. And I think it was all three, again, cliche alert, all three phases. Defense stepped up. Special teams gave you a short field at the end. And Brady, of course, was Brady. So here we go again. We're off to Minneapolis. We're talking about yesterday. So we'll get right to your reaction. All day is you reacting. We'll play the sounds of the game and your thoughts on it.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal to your ears.
Blood force drum.
We're going to run it right down their throat.
This is Felger and Maz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
White the single back with Brady up under center. He takes the snap. He play fakes to White. He looks down the middle. He fires and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England has taken the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. So money on his drive. But the composure of the quarterback. Down and tight, Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
Two foot.
Down.
Oh, my
left
God.
Left foot toe tap in the back of the end zone.
Clutch.
So, Ben, this is about your hand.
Yeah.
You can describe what you have in front of your hand.
Yeah. I'd rather not do anything with my hand, but I couldn't do, you know, that's kind of what I had to deal with. So I just wrapped it up and tried to cover it up and see if, go out there and play and be effective.
Did it impact at all?
I'd rather not wear it, but I think it sounds kind of arrogant to say, oh, yeah, it bothered me when we had a pretty good game, so I wouldn't say that.
Tom, can you take us through the 3rd-and-18 throw to Danny Amendola?
Doesn't that sound arrogant if I said that? It's like when Tiger Woods said like that was my C game and he won the tournament.
I thought the accuracy dropped there for a little bit. I don't know if they shot him up or they did something to him different Or maybe they did it before the game and it wore off, but a bit there in the second quarter, I thought it was affecting them.
I mean, I would say there were some throws that I looked at and say that didn't look like a typical Brady throw. I don't know if he had quite as much on the ball, it felt like, and there were a couple that he just floated out there.
Behind guys.
But again, he had plenty to win. He had plenty to win. At the end of the day, I don't think the hand was a huge factor. It was a little bit at times, but again, I don't think it was a huge factor. I think that they were generally able to do what they wanted to do, and maybe it showed up a little bit more on the deep balls. I don't know. It didn't feel like he threw many good deep balls.
I asked Troy and Charlie Weiss about this on our NBC Sports Boston post game. It felt like he had a lot of air under the ball, you know, a lot, like more than normal. I felt there were more balloon balls in this game, and they said that's what the defense called for. He had to go over the top. He had to beat coverage, and it wasn't the hand. It was by design. I'll take their word for it. But I did feel there was more loft on his ball yesterday, and whether that was the hand or the defense, whatever, he was dialed in. I mean, the ball was there. He was delivering it. So, but it does add to the legend, because he certainly wasn't 100%. So if you want to say he's 95, 90, 85, whatever it wasn't 100%. And he didn't have his weapons. And he still does what he did. And they still did what they did. So there you go. Is it the AT&T fan line today, Jimmy? 617-779-0985. Let's have Dave and Campbell lead us off. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I just want to know why you keep criticizing all the other teams that are in the playoffs.
Because most of them suck.
Really? They do?
They do.
You tell me how good Philadelphia sucks when they beat your Patriots in the Super Bowl, okay?
Okay.
Yeah? What else you got to say about the teams?
Which teams?
The Minnesota Vikings. You were making fun of them when you came on your show, huh?
What, today?
Yeah.
I
do. Your little horn and...
No, that was the previous show.
Like you do all the time?
That was the previous show, but I'll get to Minnesota. How do you think they did yesterday?
Yeah, they sucked. They had a bad game. I'll admit the truth.
Hey,
well, how did you guys look out against Pittsburgh when you played them, when the referees gave them that call? Was that a good call for the Patriots? Did you luck out?
I have a hard time figuring out where you're coming from.
Well, you're a red, white, and blue blowhard like the rest of them. You never admit the truth.
What's the truth? I think the league is down, Dave.
Yeah, the league is down.
Okay,
the NFC is a lot better than the AFC. You play the Tennessee Tuxedos and the Jacksonville Kitties.
Okay.
That's what you play. Two poor teams.
All right, so you're an Eagles fan.
No, I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Okay,
well, that's why you're pissed off.
Sorry
today.
For your loss.
Yeah, no, I'm, yeah. It must be tough to get your purple face kicked in.
Maybe we should have saw that coming. They were lucky to even get to that game. They were lucky to even get to yesterday's game. It takes some sort of incredibly stupid blown defensive play for them to beat New Orleans at home. I mean, it's a total miracle. Talk about lucky. And then everyone has them favored going in on the road to what was probably wire-to-wire the best team in the league this year, Philadelphia. You and them, Philadelphia was one of them. And certainly they're without their quarterback, but they're at home. Minnesota's a dome team going outside. And if... I mean, I don't know. Maybe we all just missed it on Minnesota.
Oh, I know. I did. Yeah, me too. I'll tell you what I didn't realize is that their defense had played as poorly as it had, or, you know, as substandard as it had on the road this year.
Puke loser franchise. The only other time that they were favored in an NFC championship game was in 2000 at the New York Giants, and they lost 41-0. It was almost the same thing yesterday. Ugh, losers.
So, Philly, I don't know. I mean, I obviously can't tell you who's going to give you a game or not, because I thought Jacksonville would not. So I totally overlooked and disrespected and dismissed Jacksonville, and they gave you a hell of a ball game. So don't ask me. I don't know. Can Philly compete? You tell me.
Yes.
Because I obviously don't know, but this is what I do know.
We'll get to it later.
Well, this is what I do know, and we have 2 weeks to talk about it. That not only should Philadelphia be prepared to play 60 minutes, they have to realize that their best 5 minutes of the game have to be the last five. Not the first five, and not the first five of the third quarter, or not even the first five of the fourth quarter. Doug Peterson has to let his team know that the best 5 minutes, the smartest, tightest, best 5 minutes they're going to have to play are the last 5 minutes of the game, or else they will lose. That I can tell you. Martin on the Cape. Go ahead, Martin.
Tony, like you said last week, I never saw a Patriots team more vulnerable. I mean, no Edelman, no Hightower, Brady with a cup throwing hand. It just goes on and on. They had lousy D in the first half, a fumble, a missed long ball. No Gronk in the second half, and still we're going to yet another Super Bowl? This is now bordering on the completely surreal.
Did you think it was over, Martin?
What's that?
Did you ever think it was over?
Yes, I did. Like Murray, when that fumble went the other way, I thought, maybe we pack this in. But stupid me to doubt them. I mean, I hope everyone realizes that if you live to be 100 years old, you're never, ever going to see anything even close to this in any sport ever. Hey, I need your guys' opinion on something.
Yeah.
With this win, Carlton has to be foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. So I'm considering calling Stephen A. Smith on ESPN Radio just to expose Carlton as the true hater that he is, not just a Belichick hater. I wonder if Stephen A. is aware of the fact that he's been talking to General Stonewall Carlton, Harvard-educated proponent and full supporter of Confederate monuments everywhere throughout the South. I'll bet that that particular Carlton take would go over like a lead balloon on that show.
Okay, I think Carlton, he called the midday just now, about a half hour ago. I think he has some points on the officials. I think the officiating was good to you. You know, I still think you would have won either way because you're just a better team and you can close and Jacksonville couldn't. I mean, I mean you were going to win, but I think the refereeing was kind to you. I do.
I mean, one penalty, right?
As you know, I think there were 9 or 10 called penalties on Jacksonville, one on you. I think it was, they ended up being 6 accepted. So it was 6-1 on the score sheet. I think it was like something like 9-1 or 10-1.
Did you have an issue with the PI on Cooks?
Yeah, the first PI in the second quarter, horrible call.
And yeah, see, that one didn't bother me, and I'll tell you why, but go ahead.
Oh, the one in the second half where he clotheslined him? Oh, that was an obvious one. That one you had to throw.
Yeah, but even the first one, to me, should have been, and I'll tell you why, because Bouye put his hands up. He put his hands up and grabbed him. If he just bumps him out of bounds and pushes him out of bounds, no. But once he put his arms up and grabbed him or wrapped him a little bit, they were going to throw it.
The first one, I just thought he angled him out of bounds. I thought that was touchy. You know, in a game where they let most of it go, to call that first one, The second one, he clotheslined him. I think he had to throw the one on the second one. The first one was ticky-tack, and, you know, this has gotten some traction today. Pro Football Talk wrote about it. Carlton talked about it. You know, the Miles Jack strip on Deion Lewis, that should have been 6 points for Jacksonville. He was never contacted. He wasn't touched when the ball was loose. He got control of it, started running down the sidelines, and they blew the whistle. So, again, I don't think officiating determined the game, but I think you got the benefit of the calls. If that bothers you, I'm sorry. Here's Wallace in the van. Go ahead, Wallace.
Guys, we have a caller that's saying things are surreal, and Maz raised the question of when has Brady had receivers, you know, without Gronk, without Edelman. How about names like David Patton and Deion Branch? Last night, we got to witness greatness. And Jim Murray, I'm talking to you. Let's be happy, brother. We won. We're in the big show. That drive before the half where the defense stopped the Jags and gave Tom a 2-minute drive before the half, that's a championship drive. If you want to be the champion, that's when it shows. And we watched greatness. I was there in 2001 when Brady started. And it may be done soon and the window's closing. Guys, let's be happy.
I'm not gonna look.
I tackled a stranger. I don't know how much more I can give you. I'm in pain today because of physical pain from yesterday.
So look, I don't want to jump ahead too much either, but a lot of the vulnerabilities in that Patriots team were exploited yesterday. So there are holes there. They're not invulnerable like they were in some of these other years, and they did catch some breaks here. I'm not going that far.
Oh, do you like that Patriots edge defense?
Oh my gosh, really? Ooh. I mean, they got gashed. At points, gash is the wrong word. They got pushed around, I felt, in the first half. You know, to me, the linebacking play on this team blows. It blows. It's bad. And without Hightower there, they might have the worst linebacking play in the league, or close to it.
Dan in Maine, what do you got?
How you doing? I want to flip the switch. What if they traded Brady instead of Garoppolo? Do you think Garoppolo would have won this game?
Probably not.
All right, I'll hang up and let you guys discuss it. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's never the... I don't think it's ever been the case that you're arguing who's better. Like, I don't know. No one said Garoppolo's better or gives you a better chance to win right now. The question is, what do you want over the next 10 years? That's,
right.
That was always the equation. So if you had made that move, Brady to Garoppolo, you're sacrificing something in the short term. There's no question about it. You probably don't win that game last night. Probably don't. But in 10 years, are you a better team? You know, that's the equation, caller. Like, and I think that's always been the equation.
Totally long-term versus short-term. It doesn't apply to, you know, now.
Al in Mansfield. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, Maz. Mike, how you doing?
Good.
A couple things that aren't being brought up. And the key point to that game last night was 55 seconds left with 2 timeouts. Do you think Belichick would have done that, sat on the ball, taken a knee? No, you get on the field, you try to get into field goal range, you get to the 40, and you try a 56-yarder. But to take a knee, I mean, and after that, they came out, Jacksonville scored, what, 3 points? And then they just played passive the rest of the game. I mean, they played to lose is what it came down to.
Okay, you're missing the turning point by about 3 minutes. I'll give you the turning point right after Murray's update here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
Third and 7 coming up for the Jaguars from the Patriot 44-yard line. Lee motions left to right, followed by Gilmore.
No, man.
Shotgun snap to Bortles, dropping back, looks to throw. Lobs it toward Mercedes Lewis, diving far side. Did he make the catch in front of Chung? He did. First down grab.
They missed it.
On the Patriots sideline at the 31. Wait a minute. There's
delay
a flag from the back judge. It's a delay game.
Fire the snap. Delay a game. Offense. 5-yard penalty.
He's not even looking at the clock. It was zero for a good two count.
Obviously, there's a lot of pain. You know, you just hurt inside. I'm hurting. The coaches are hurting. The players obviously are hurting. I'm sure our fans are hurting. You know, but a lot of guys on this team have gutted it out all year. They gutted it out today. Great quality. Guys are playing, you know, banged up and playing, you know, extremely hard. And the reason why they're doing it is playing for each other. And I think that's why early in the year I said I thought this team could be special. We fell short. But hopefully we'll start again and build on that characteristic of playing for each other. Hopefully we can maintain that in our...
He just didn't have 60 minutes in him. His team didn't have 60 minutes in it. Had about 45, 50 minutes. And that was about it. And then I think his approach and his game plan turned to caca. But he gave that Patriots team a lot more than I thought he was capable of. And so credit to Doug Marrone. However, that doesn't mean that then it makes some major, major mistakes that cost them this game. And the caller said before about the turning point of the game, he thought is when Jacksonville took a knee at the end of the second quarter. I think it happened 5 minutes before when they took that delay a game coming out of the timeout. Delay a game coming out of a timeout. Again, I repeat, a delay of game coming out of a timeout. That is Mickey Mouse, Herm Edwards, New York Jets, slap crap football 101.
And it's something that should never happen.
And Marrone knew it, too. He said it during the broadcast, right? He said it during the halftime interview with Jimmy Urdahl yesterday, right? He knew. They botched it. That's 17-3 versus 14-10 right there at a minimum.
AFC Championship game. You're up 14-3. Okay? There is 2:23 left. Now, Jacksonville, again, from the jump, it felt like they got it because they deferred on the kick. Right, they won the toss and deferred. So they were set up for the hairpin turn. They were set up to score at the end of the second, get the ball to start the third, and they were managing it accordingly. 2:23 left, 3rd and 7, Bortles completes the ball to Lewis on the sidelines. Except it's a delay of game.
And that's first down at around the 20. At the bare minimum, you're getting 3 points there.
Absolutely. Again, 17-3 versus 14-10.
That would have been 1st and 10 at the 32. Had they not been a delay of game. So it would have been 1st and 10 at the 32-yard line with, call it 2:15 left, or if they let it go to the 2-minute, with the 2-minute warning, that's it. That's it.
They kill the clock.
Jacksonville's in place to run out the clock and get the hairpin turn themselves, or at least not afford the Patriots the chance. They've dominated the first half. They're up 14-3, and they can't get the playoff in time coming out of a timeout. Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse crap. And then what happens on the Patriots' next possession? Questionable pass interference down the sidelines. Personal foul on Rob Gronkowski. Patriots score. And instead it's 14-10 at half as opposed to 17, as you mentioned, 17-3. And here we go, ball game. Absolute turning point of the game in my mind.
Huge swing.
Huge.
Huge. I mean, you know, absolutely monumental. All of a sudden, it's a game the Patriots have been slapped around. The Jags held the ball for over 18 minutes in the first half. Again, in another Coughlin game. They completely dominated time of possession. And I'm sorry, it is Coughlin's Jags. It's not Marrone's. I refuse to go there, at least for now. So, like, it went all the that. What an unbelievable mistake. What a mistake.
And just the whole sequence. And again, now to the Patriots' credit, what makes it such a mistake is that the Patriots are that kind of team that always takes advantage. Always. You go to kick them in the nuts, you better not miss. Because they'll grab your leg and twist it. That's what Bob Sales, our old sports editor at the Herald, told me once, Maz, when I got in trouble for something. I can't remember one. Maybe when I called Jerry Jacobs a thief. He said, if you go to kick someone in the balls, you better not miss. Or you go to kick certain people in the balls, you better not miss, because if you do, they'll grab your leg and break it. And that's the Patriots. You make a mistake, they take advantage. If that's some other team, they don't take advantage, and you never really, you know, it never really comes up. But the Patriots always take advantage of it. And so it wasn't just the delay of game that killed their drive. It's the Patriots then got the ball and go right down the field and score. And of course, you make a couple mistakes on that drive if you're Jacksonville. The PI and then the shot on Gronkowski, the personal foul, that gives them something like, I don't know, 40 yards in field.
I was just even more, I think.
And,
go ahead.
And yeah. So it's 40 yards in penalties on that drive. Well, that's going to come back to bite you, and it did. So that was the first half turning point. I think the turning point of the game, except it's still 20-10 in the fourth quarter when you convert 3rd-and-18. So on this side of it, you, like I say, convert 3rd-and-18. If you're Jacksonville, you sit there and you say, you can't give up 3rd-and-18. They're up 20 points in the fourth quarter, and they give up 3rd-and-18. That's another one where, again, if that's some other team, you don't pick up 3rd-and-18. But if you're a defense, I don't care who that is. AFC Championship game, up 10 points, fourth quarter. You've got to be able to defend 3rd-and-18 against anybody.
I mean, just ridiculous. This is why I thought, you know, Amendola to me was the best player on the field. In the fourth quarter, he was the guy. And, you know, to me, Brady had nowhere else to go, not in clutch time. He needed someone he could rely on there, and Amendola was the guy. And he made a couple of tough catches.
Let me give you another Jacksonville second guess.
Go.
I thought their game plans were terrific. Terrific. And for the second straight game, they got Bortles in rhythm, efficient, you know, short throws, little throws. How many times do we say throw on the Patriots linebackers, and how few teams do? Jacksonville did. They threw against your linebackers, whether it was running backs or just receivers on short stuff or Lewis, the tight end, whatever it was, they threw on your linebackers and your safeties, and they threw where you should be thrown on. Smart, smart, smart. Rollouts, bootlegs, throwing on first down, play action, short stuff, brilliant. Full credit to Doug Marrone, Tom Coughlin, and their staff. I didn't think they had it in them.
Until the fourth quarter.
Then they get to the fourth quarter, and what do?
They got conservative. They got way too conservative. And you know what? I understand why, because their quarterback scares the crap out of them.
Okay, but the passing game that they had was all short, safe stuff. There was no reason to get away from that.
See, but I give the Patriots some credit in the second half because I think they started to bring more pressure.
They absolutely did.
They started to come at Bortles a little bit more, and or in the first half they didn't. They tried to sit back. You know, they were so geared up for Fournette. How many times? It's in the first half. They ran some play actions where guys were wide open. Wide open. And I remember thinking, are the Patriots actually going to try covering these guys, or are they just going to let them run around? And they were so geeked up about Fournette. The Jags' game plan was awesome. Excellent in the early part of the game.
Until we got to the fourth and it came time to finish. Tell me if you sense a trend here, Murray. I'm not very smart. I don't pick up on things. But you tell me if you can sense a trend. First Jacksonville possession. The first three possessions of the fourth quarter. First one with 13:37 left. Shotgun. Lawrence Fournette up the middle for 2 yards.
Leonard.
I still call him Lawrence. Next possession. 8:38 left. First down. These are the first down plays on the last three possessions of the fourth quarter. I'm sorry, first three possessions of the fourth quarter. Shotgun. Lawrence Fournette, left tackle, for 1 yard.
Leonard.
Next possession. 5:53 left. Shotgun. Lawrence Fournette, up the middle, minus 1 yard.
Leonard.
The first three possessions of the fourth quarter was the exact same play.
And they gained nothing on any of them.
Now, I don't know if maybe there was maybe the H-back was in a different spot or a different formation. All I know is they were handoffs up the middle to Lawrence Fournette out of the shotgun.
Leonard.
Shotgun, Fournette up the middle.
Oh, it was stupid. It made no sense at all.
After all game, brilliantly, play action, getting him on the edge, play action, bootleg, rollout, little toss to a running back, little toss to a receiver, you know, all day long. And then they get to the fourth, and it's time to close, and it's the exact same play to open up their first three drives. And they got a first down on one of those drives, so when they reset on a first down, it was their second drive.
That was a slant to Hearns, right?
Slant to Hearns, got 20 yards over the middle. Very good, Maz. They line up first down. first down, they're in the shotgun. Guess what they did?
Fournette up the middle.
Lawrence Fournette up the middle.
Would he get to gain anything?
1 yard.
Yeah, see, I think and on those carries, so they got into second and long on all of those. That's the thing, and that's where they hurt themselves.
So on the first four first downs of the fourth quarter, exactly the same play, Lawrence Fournette out of the shotgun up the middle. And all four times, now that you mention it, Maz, incomplete on second and eight. Then they completed the one to Hearns, right. So they did pick up that one.
Yep.
Next one, incomplete to Westbrook on second and nine, incomplete to Hearns on second and 11.
They were all second and long, and then all of a sudden now you're getting into third and long, and the Patriots are bringing blitzes, and Bortles can't handle it.
So Jacksonville played an excellent game. They were much better than I thought they would be. I was wrong about them. But you can't do it for 45, 50 minutes and expect to beat this Patriots team. The best stat that I heard yesterday was this. The last four times the Patriots have been down double digits in the playoffs, they've won. You know how stupid that is?
It is. It's Baltimore, Seattle, Atlanta, and yesterday.
You know how stupid good that is?
In the Baltimore game, they were down 28-14. We forget that. That was the one here.
They were down 14 points twice in that game.
Twice. That's right. That's right. 14-0 and 28-14.
They were down 14 points twice to Baltimore in that ballgame. The last four times they've been down double digits in the playoffs, they've won.
It's not supposed to happen. It's insane.
Okay, so it's just, again, playing 60 minutes is an old cliche that we heard in Pop Warner. But it applies, but it's not just that. It's, and I'll say this again to Doug Peterson. If you want to win, you have to make sure that your best 5 minutes of the game are your last 5 minutes. That's the only way you're going to beat this Patriots team, because they are going to keep coming. And they are going to execute at the end. They are going to. Take it to the bank. They're going to execute at the end. Can you?
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Yeah, Tom, I realize when you arrived here in 2000, you had a lot of confidence, but if somebody told you then that you would win 3 out of 4 early in your career and then 13 years later you'd have a chance to do that a second time, what would you have thought?
I'd have thought you're crazy to think that, or I was crazy to think that. This has just all been, you know, I guess it's my life, so I'm living it, and it feels very natural and normal just because, you know, I wake up every day and I feel very much the same as I did when I walked in here 18 years ago. I really do. And it's a great privilege to play here, and it's a great privilege to play in the NFL. I try to represent the team more. I try to represent my family. Try to do things the right way. I'm very blessed. So could never imagine getting, you know, the kind of, you know, team achievements we've done and had. I mean, I don't think anyone can ever take those for granted. These are pretty amazing times for all of us. Fans included, players, coaches, everyone. It's very special.
Guys, Belichick in the Super Bowl. I don't think the Patriots have ever scored a point in the first quarter. I know it's a hard thing to predict, but do you see this slow trend continuing? Thanks.
They've never scored a point in the first quarter of the Super Bowl.
We've had people bring that up in the past. I don't remember if they got one last year in Atlanta or not. I mean, with Atlanta. I don't remember when they got the field goal. I don't remember. But there's some truth to the slow start thing in the Super Bowl.
Does it matter?
No, not if you finish like they do.
I mean, does anyone finish like they do?
No.
And it's just sort of, it's like the way they treat football seasons. I mean, it's just September doesn't matter and December, January matter, and is that the way they treat big football games? Is it the same kind of thing?
Maybe. I mean, I told you, like, on some level, I look at Brady's career and feel like he's doing it. You know, again, this extension that he's tacked on at the end of his career now, the final 2 minutes of his career, if that's what you want to call it, off the charts. 11 comebacks in the playoffs in the fourth quarter. You know who the next closest guy is? Eli. Five. And two of those were to beat Brady. Like, I just, the whole thing just, it's mind-blowing. When you add it all up, at the end of the day, he's blowing everybody out of the water by such a great amount, it isn't even funny.
Tim in Nashua, go ahead.
Mike, totally shocked about Bortles, his play. He was awesome. But in the end, the toxicology of Brady and Belichick together is just a bad combination for any team. Those are my positives. My negative, I wish Josh McDaniels would stop calling some of those plays with the running and the short passes. It was driving me nuts. I was on my edge of my seat.
Okay, do we feel the Patriots got conservative in that game in their play calling? Some third down plays where they were intentionally short of the stakes. There was even a handoff on one of them, a couple dump-offs on the other, and then they end up in 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, and they punt in all those occasions. How'd you feel about that? I mean, obviously, it ended up well, but as they were transpiring, how do we feel about it?
So I was surprised. There was one sequence where they had a 4th down at about the 40, 42 or 45 or whatever it was, and they punted and then got it right back on the next one, and they got fourth down again, and I thought Belichick was going to go for it. I said, he's not going to punt two times in a row, and he did.
I think they showed terrific patience there.
He really did. Look, what he did was he said, I don't think that they can. I don't think the quarterback can beat us.
But this is also why I don't just put yesterday on Brady. And their defense, every time Bill had one of those borderline decisions, it feels like the defense stood up. I mean, I'll go look. I don't know if the Jaguars scored any points off of those. All those, you know, again, the midfield fourth and shorts, they punted every time. And I think every time the defense stood. And so, you know, again, they finished on both sides of the ball. It wasn't just Brady slinging it all over the place.
No, that's true. But I also think that they sort of finally started to figure it out in the second half that we can't just sit back and not get any pressure on this guy and let him dump the ball off.
So the big defensive adjustment, you're absolutely right. They started sending corner blitzes, safety, like which they almost never do. Malcolm Butler came on the exact same blitz on, I think, consecutive third down plays. I think the Pats had the ball in between, but on consecutive third down passing plays, Butler came on the same blitz from the same place.
And Bortles, I know Bortles threw one of them over the sideline, into the sideline, like it wasn't even close. And I just think that they eventually looked at it and said, you know what, we're going to come after this guy. He's got all day to sit back there. He can look around, dump it off to the open guy.
It's a great defensive adjustment by Patricia. I chalk up most of Bortles' success to the coaching. I think they put him in I think they schemed it. And they put him in a tremendous position to succeed. He had a few balls that were great. He had one back shoulder on the sidelines, you know, where I think Tony Romo actually took his pants off. You know, and there were a couple that were really good balls. But for the most part, it was the same thing as in Pittsburgh. Little short stuff, the guy's open, and just put it there. And so I think they coached him up brilliantly. Big credit to Doug Marrone, Tom Coughlin, and their staff. They're much better than I gave them credit for. Yesterday, anyway. Here's Devin in Malden. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey guys, huge fan. I just think that this should be one of Brady's easiest Super Bowls. I mean, if you think about it, I'm not going to say it's going to be a blowout, but I think last night was going to be the hardest game that we played. I mean, think about it. The Eagles' D compared to what Brady played in 14 against the Seahawks, I mean, the Seahawks would blow them out. And if you think about Nick Foles, you just can't trust him, especially in the clutch. I mean, trust him to drive you down the field with 2 minutes left.
Devin, stay tuned to us for the next 2 weeks. We'll pound the crap out of the Eagles game. I'm going to try and keep it mostly to yesterday today, but just a quick thought, Maz, you were shaking your head there?
Because I don't think that's right. Now, look, I'm not comparing him to Seattle of, you know, 3-4 years ago, rather, because that was an all-time defense. But Philadelphia, at least on paper, has a lot of the elements Jacksonville did. I mean, they don't have quite the corner play, but their defensive line is awesome. They will get pressure with four. And they're physical, and they have weapons on offense, and I think they have better quarterbacking than Jacksonville does.
How are they up the middle?
Offensively?
Defensively. How are their linebackers and safeties?
So that I don't know. I don't know. But their corner play, you know, Darby's one of the corners. Like, I feel like Philly's a better defense than people want to give it credit for.
Chris in Watertown on the Jags. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Felger. I just wanted to call, give you credit for all week talking about the coaching matchup, and I think at the end of the day, that's absolutely what it came down to. You know, they came in with a good scheme, but, you know, it's back to the point of the other teams hanging in for 60 minutes, and, you know, they turned to a puddle in the fourth quarter.
You have to be perfect to beat the Patriots, Chris. You and right, it's a tremendous amount of pressure to put on these opponents, that not only do they have to come up with the right game plan, have their team ready, execute it, it's then, with 5 minutes to go, you've got to make all the right decisions. You've got to be perfect because the Patriots are coming, and the Patriots will execute in those last 5 minutes. And it's just so few teams, frankly, no team that I can see is capable of doing that.
Exactly. You know, they just tried to protect them at the end. And, you know, 30 yards, I think, total in the fourth quarter of offense. It was sad.
They got way too conservative. But, again, it's so hard. Atlanta kept going. They were throwing at the end, and that killed them. So it's like, all right, well, we stay aggressive, we keep throwing, it's not good enough. We get conservative and make sure we don't turn the ball over, and it kills them. And so it all relates back to the Patriots executing at the end that forces the opponent to be perfect, whatever they choose to do. And who can do that? Who else can do that?
Almost nobody. I just think in the case of like Atlanta and Seattle, that's just situational mistakes. Like, you know, in Atlanta's case, you're up 7, take the 3, go up for the 2 scores, not that we need to relive that one. And look, I hate to keep coming back to this, because look, a lot of what you're saying is right. Okay, that, you know, the defense made plays, Amendola made a punt return. I just think that the thing that hangs over all of it is Brady. the specter of Brady on the sideline, and even for his own players. They look at it and say, if we give this guy a shot, we're in it. We got a chance.
So if you want to carry that out a little bit, then you can say it's the quarterbacks, because let's just, if Tom Coughlin had Eli Manning yesterday.
He throws.
Are they lining up on first down and running it on their first four first downs of the fourth quarter?
Nope.
No, they're probably also not taking a knee before the half with a minute to go and a couple of timeouts. That one still blows my mind, because the Eagles were in the same situation with 29 seconds to go. They get the ball at their own 25. They go for it. They end up getting 3 points.
So this is something Paul Perillo said last week, and he thought it would be a blowout too. But, you know, his good point was that, yes, the Giants did everything right. They had the right game plan, the right personnel, the right approach. But every single time as well, Eli led him to points in the fourth quarter. And even if Jacksonville does all those other things right, do they have the guy to do that?
So, look, the play calling got really conservative for Jacksonville. And again, like...
And predictable. Oh, my God.
But I half get it. They didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. There was that one ball he threw down the sideline that Gilmore almost picked off. Remember
yes,
that?
Yeah, to the end, yes.
Like, and I sort of went, ooh, man, how do you let this guy put the ball up? Like, you're stuck. They didn't have the quarterback.
Okay, we continue with your reaction to the Patriots' win in the AFC Championship game yesterday. No commercials, quick update, then right back to you.
Felger and Mav.